Blog Talk Radio.
Do I gotta tell you, don't turn that dial. You just reached Taino Radio, Radio Taino, Ita, Puktoka. How are you? This is Sanakori. That means this is Wednesday. You know what that means, right? This is the power in great indigenous power hour activism show. There's gonna be some cool stuff happening tonight. It's gonna be a lot of fireworks, there's gonna be a lot of stuff going down. And I can't wait. And you know why I can't wait? Well, we always start with this song. You know why?
Yeah.
everybody. How you doing? We got some technical difficulties in the studio. This is the cyber world. Sometimes we get hacked, you know, and you know who you are. Check it out, man. This is Wednesday. This is, wow, DJ Sanakori with my co-host right here, hostess. And she's straight out of Indian country, way out, way on Nebraska. And her name is Indy 41. Are you there?
I am. Thank you, Sanakori. And relatives, thank you for joining in and getting some of this medicine and just joining us and, you know, drawing strength from one another. So welcome, relatives.
Even though we can't constantly get hacked, it's all right, man. We're still on the air, right?
Yeah, right. And I don't know if that's Spooky Lou and the paranormal show or
Men in Black.
Them.
Men in
them
Black.
Them something else's.
Men in
that's
Black.
Something
but,
else.
Men in, but you know,
you
I want to tell the Men in Black. I want to tell the Men in Black one thing, okay? And I think that's why they're around, trying to hack the studio, trying to cut that song, that honoring song, right? The jingle dress.
Yes,
honor
step. The people. Yes.
I can't believe they hacked that. I'm telling you, man. I can see it. I can see it in my studio when they hacked. But check this out. Ready for this? Roll call. I just want to tell the Men in Black, if they want to come after us, we got tons of fans. So this is a roll call. You ready? Not in any alphabetical order, but these are the countries that constantly tune in. So I'm starting with Russia, India, hey, the original Indians, Australia, Norway, Germany, United Kingdom, Italy, Portugal, Morocco, Argentina, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Canada, First Nations, Ireland, Japan, New Zealand, Nigeria, Colombia, Finland, and last but not least, Turtle Island. What's up? That makes me happy.
It does.
We're all over,
it does.
Man.
Yeah, because that's quite an accomplishment, you know, that we can say that Taino Radio is global. So that means not only, you know, are we getting in touch with our other relatives, but so forgoes the medicine, the activism, the power.
There you go. This is not rehearsed, right? Our script is not rehearsed. Well, let me ask you a quick question. In your tribe, in your neck of the woods, when you see a nice person, do you say, hey, that's a good people. That's good people right there. Do you say that out there, the Indian country? That's good people.
Of course. Good people, yes.
Well, you know, in the islands, we say buena gente. In the island, we say buena gente. So then you touch your cheek, and you say, wow,
yeah.
Buena gente. Like, this person's sweet, right? And guess what? You translate that term in the Caribbean, it's called Taino, the noble person, good people.
Love
so that's what
it.
Taino means, you know, and this is what the Spaniards saw. There's a sweet people, you know. With one sword, you could tame a whole village. That's his actual words. With one sword, you can tame a whole village. That's how sweet they are. But guess what? We're warriors too, right?
We are. And, you know, we need to keep in focus and in mind our boarding school babies. And, relatives, there's something that I encourage all of us to do. And that's do our research. There was a post floating around recently stating that there were 1,100 bodies of the babies found at Blue Quill Residential School. And however, that is not true. So the number is still, now listen to this, 5,290 babies.
Wow,
that's out
of control.
Now, something I wanted to share with the relatives is this is how they did business. They, and when I say they, I'm talking about colonizers. I'm talking about, you know, that specific. There is a practice that they have, and it's just not here at these residential schools, but they had a
right.
practice of child sacrifices. And then they would build, you know, on top of that. So it started out as a practice of business. And then once the religious organization turned into business, basically, they followed that. And so all the way back with some of even the older, you know, historic finds,
right.
palaces, there were mass child graves under many palaces that antiquities, you know, uncovered. And they even went as far as saying that those were, you know, birthed or aborted children, and excuse me for this reference, but of the palace whores. And they tried to steer belief that holes were cut in the floor so that they could just birth them, and that's how graves came about, is because that was a practice within that. And it's not. It's how they would ask for, or you know, this was an offering to their God to have a successful business. So they need to do more than search under those schools or you know those churches, because the how school started. It started as Sunday school, and then evolved to the 5-day, 40-hour, a work week, and that's basically why your children go for 40 hours a week, is to prepare them for a work habit.
Yep, and you know the U.S. government pay the churches. The U.S. government granted money funding every year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To beat the Indian, right? To beat the Indian.
Yeah.
Kill the savage. Wait, what was that term they said? Beat the savage out of the Indian, something like that? What was that term?
Kill the Indian, save the man.
There you go, man. And the government, you know, did that.
Oh. Right. And so, as, you know, a healing sister, I am encouraging the men to get out there and get those prayers going, get those drums going at the count that it is. And I'm speaking from the point of view as a mother.
Right.
What's proper? If this was one of your children, what is proper? Would you not want a day dedicated to every single one of them? You know, wouldn't that be proper? I mean, that's what I was always told.
Yeah. I mean,
and so
innocent.
At 5,296, do you know what that translates to? Honoring each and every single one of them at this, you know, at 5,296.
Right.
That's 14 years. And 186 days of nonstop singing.
Oh,
that's the least we could do.
No doubt.
You know?
The least. Damn.
The least we could do is get those prayers and get that drum going. And remember, they can't stand the sight of us. That's why they tried to get rid of us. They couldn't stand our strength. They couldn't stand our community. They couldn't stand our religion. That's why they banned our practices. So not only could they not stand to see us, they couldn't stand to hear us. And due to the fact that we remain, be proud. Hold your head high. Because that's survivor's guilt. That don't belong here. That's theirs. That's their burden to carry, not ours.
That's right. Wow, it's deep, man. I tell you, it's a lot of healing. A lot of healing, a lot of medicine we need.
And we're not even done. We're not even done with the schools. So let me tell you what the count is then for in total, you know, like how many schools Canada, how many in the United States. That is, let's see here. All right. Let's see, that is 55 residential boarding schools just in Arizona alone.
Oh, so, my Lord.
Yeah. And that is from a total of 367. Just in the United States.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So.
I hear you.
I think we're only at 7 residential schools in Canada right now.
Unbelievable,
absolutely.
Well, we got the momentum.
Oh yeah.
Because the dead are rising. The dead are rising from the earth. It's getting national attention, world attention. It's a common story that's not spoken about. So it's some deep stuff. Deep stuff.
It is. And unfortunately, that's that come in our DNA that we're trying very hard to begin the healing process on. You know, and that's all there's left to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over 500 years of genocide, and we survived it. And thriving. We are thriving, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's and did you see the census?
What about the census? Yeah. What happened?
Our numbers are up. That's at least the news articles. Oh, so
you gotta count you gotta count the 6 million Taino people out there. Don't even know they're Taino, but they are. You gotta count them too, man. So at 5 million to be conservative.
That's a fabulous number because let me tell you something. The last count I knew, we were just at 4 million indigenously. So 6 million indigenous or Tainos?
Well, Boricua,
they don't even know
Puerto Rico, there's 3 million in the island and over 3 million in the mainland, more than 3 million in the mainland. And 61%. If you go by the DNA, 61% are indigenous. So that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that is a lot of people. Well, you know, those articles say indigenous numbers are up. And one of them said, oh, there's more, more indigenous babies born than white babies, Caucasian babies.
Yeah, then you got to include the South American brothers and sisters from Mexico, Central America, South America. You got to include those babies too.
Right. So this is my response to that heading was, did it grow or did you finally start counting right?
Oh, word. That's right. Yeah,
because we don't have a census. We don't got a census taker I mean, they do come door to door. Please believe that. If you don't fill out the census, oh, they'll come to your door and help you fill it out nowadays. And might I add, the hustle just not too long ago went, you know, and people are getting paid to do that, to go out and do that count. But
well, the fascist president, our fascist president Trump, before he stopped the count quickly though, because a lot of districts lost money, lost funding. A lot of the liberal cities, they lost representation this year. New York.
They sure did. And then the other headline was that indigenous had the highest voter turnout when it came to the polls. Right. That's all green. It is her, but it's action, Sam Corey, that keeps this in place. And that we can't participate, you know, I mean, the reality is once the Electoral College, you know, went in place, went in effect, whatever you want to call it, our vote hasn't mattered since 1933. And that, we didn't get the right to vote till when? Was that 67?
That's right.
So that didn't apply, it doesn't apply. And if you're an enrolled member, you're technically a prisoner of war. And last I checked, prisoner of war, slaves. Now, let me tell you, when you become a slave is once criminalized. So that's any felony, you know. Now, there are states that will give you your voting rights back, right? As a felon, you can, as long as you go, I think 3 years, you can reapply and it's not a drug offense or a violent crime, you know? But again, what does that do for the enrolled member?
Yeah.
So once you're criminalized, the term becomes slave. And we haven't done away with slavery yet. Technically, you can be made a slave over debt and not even need a felony. So if you got debt, oh yeah, they can put you to work to clear that debt. So
definitely.
And
oh man,
the other definition of and if you look up the Britannica 1867 or 1870, it's between that time frame, Britannica's definition of native is slave.
That's I've heard that.
Yes. And so here's the comeback on that, because we get the Indian reference, because we were also described as aliens. So aliens don't have rights either. Indian or Indio in their language means no contract.
Indios.
So
no contract, right?
Yeah, that's what Indio means. So I can't, you know, democracy is straight hypocrisy, if you ask me.
Well, you know, 4-1, let me tell you something. There's help on the way. There's help. There's the infantry's coming in. They're already here, man.
Absolutely.
Indigenous
Absolutely.
Style. And guess what?
Absolutely. Yes.
Our next guest this week is a sign of hope, a sign of hopeful resistance towards anything that's not good for us, right? So I want you to introduce
Absolutely.
Our next guest. Just let me do a little countdown here before the men in black. Wait, I gotta get ahead of the Men in Black. Hold on a second. Gotta outline them. Gonna out sprint them. Okay. Indy 41, introduce our next guest who's live right now with us. Go for it.
Awesome. Relatives, we are welcoming. Now, if you remember last week, we had the lovely Christy McKay. A lot of medicine, lot of healing went on in that last interview. And I'd like to bring you some young warrior medicine, activism, and, of course, indigenous hip-hop. But we have Sabil, the native.
Hello, hello, everybody. How we doing?
Hey, welcome. Mamita, welcome.
Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Welcome to Taino Radio. This is Sanacori, 041. Wow, enlighten us. Go for it.
Ask you to tell us where you're from and share your tribe.
Okay, well, I am Savell the Native. I'm from Eugene, Oregon, out of the Pacific Northwest.
Nice.
My tribe, they call it Celets, but a little history on that. Celets is the colonel who led my people out to the reservation. So I just go a little bit deeper to the roots of who I am. So I am Czech Coast 66 to Tootney. We are from Northern California all the way to the bottom of Washington originally. So, yeah. So I'm just tapping in out of the Northwest. April gave me the invite to come on in here and chop it up with you guys. So here I am.
Thank you. Awesome. That is great.
So, okay, you know when the recent protests were going down, where were you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us all about
I was I was outside. Really, I was sitting at home. It was nighttime. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. All the kids laying down, settling down. I was watching some Netflix or playing some video games or something. And I got a phone call. And my bro was just like, Eugene's on fire. Eugene's on fire. And I was like, what? And he kind of slowed down. And he was like, they are burning up everything down there. And I was like, no way. So I go on Facebook, of course, social media, and there's 100 live videos. Everybody's down there. It's going crazy. So I go down there, and just like my friend said, they had a trash can in the middle of the road. They had it lit on fire. They had multiple trash cans by the end of the night. They had oil barrels. I mean, they were going wild.
Wow.
And that was just the first night. And so what am I going to say to people, you know? You know, I tell people to stop. You know, I can't tell people how to protest. You know what I mean? So the first night we were getting a feel of it. We live streamed and, keeping our people up to date with what was going on. My family was worried about what we were doing. So the first night was just kind of a fill out and it was a lot of emotion. There was a lot of good that came out of it. There was also a lot of bad. But that all got weeded out, you know, throughout the nights of protesting. You know what I mean? You know how it goes.
Sure.
So the first night was wild. You know, they were lighting fires, they were breaking windows, there was Starbucks, they were in the cell phone store. They were going wild. Fire extinguishers, the fire hydrants. It was like some Brooklyn 1990 something. You know what I mean? Like, it was wild. So that all happened the first night, and then second night we come out, and we had a little bit more of a game plan, you know, a kind of idea of what we were going for, what we were going to do. We went through the backlash of being there from, you know, our whole community. There was people that were so proud that we were there, and then there was people that were so ashamed that we were there, and, you know, just a lot of emotion that came with it. So we kind of had to come up with our own game plan of, if we're going to be there, what are we there for, and what are we doing?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So then Facebook pages started getting created and stuff. And, you know, the deeper we got into it, the more that you know, a lot of support came, but also a lot of hate. Especially me being, you know, a local hip hop rapper, and you know, I travel around. You know, my face is out there. A lot of people were jumping on that. It was like a target on my back, in a sense, with the police, with the police, and with the protesters. So as it was going, the last night that we were out, we were just protesting, walking around, doing chants, you know, just protesting, just walking around, just protesting with the group. And we got, what do they call it? Kettled? Or they so basically they what they did is they imposed a curfew on us that was impossible for us to leave the premises in that amount of time. And they literally gave us a curfew for 11 o'clock at night at 10:59.
Oh, that's an old trick.
And so all right, let me rewind. As we were protesting, it was like Forrest Gump in the movie when he was jogging. After a while, he looked back and there was just, you know, hundreds of people. And after a while through the night, we looked back and there was just so many people with us. And, you know, we couldn't go on. And it, so we all got stopped at this store on the corner, right? Because we were in the parking lot. So then we were trespassing. So then we had to stand out with the cops. And, you know, we were on our knees in the middle of the road and hands up and ask them to take a knee with us. They wouldn't. They were, you know, not participating in anything that we had going on. So they told us to leave. They, you know, over the intercom, their little speech things that they have. They told us to vacate the premises. We could be arrested, trespassing, court of law, mace, all the rubber bullets is coming at you if not. So we're leaving. And as we're leaving, they come by with a new message. We have a curfew of 11 p.m. for downtown Eugene. And then start naming off all the streets. These are all the streets that we're on. So we look at our watch, literally 10:59. And we're walking. And then when it hit, they just started, it's like a siren. And it was so loud. And they were pushing us down this road. And we got down to like this road and it like tunneled out into like the main road. But the main road, and they were pushing us behind us and then cut us off in front of us at like 11:03. And they just rushed us, and I got tackled and thrown in a paddy wagon, and I got arrested, and it was...
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that, man. Damn.
Yeah, lost my glasses. That was, like, the biggest L I took that night.
Oh.
Could not see. Could not see. And that's all you can hear, like, on the tape is, like, I'm Josh McKnight. I'm peaceful. Where are my glasses?
Oh, shit. Man,
well,
yeah,
I can
real.
Say
that's real.
I can say that, you know, I followed you during the protest there, and I shared my own here, and it got crazy where I'm at. Two indigenous ladies were ran over, and they weren't just ran over. The gentleman then backed over them and ran over them again. And something I noticed in the headlines at that time was, you know, white man in white truck running people over in major cities. There was, it was that way in Atlanta, out your way. In Washington, you know?
And
so it was right across the street from me. And I was one of them screaming, all lives matter, you know? At least that's what Creator told me, you know what I mean? That we all matter, you know? And none greater than the other, but... I watched you and I saw your influence, and you know, I just want you to know that not a lot of people would have done what you did. You know what I mean? And you know, that took courage, you know, because you know the end result. I mean, you could have easily been a victim, you know, because, I mean, here they were shooting the same rubber bullets.
Well,
I mean,
I just gave an overview, but like a little guts and glory of it. Like, there was a time we were at a protest. We weren't even protesting. It just turned into a protest because the cops showed up like 12 deep, like for nothing. Like, it was so weird. Everybody was just downtown chilling and 12 cops come. So yeah, of course everybody started rallying up. But anyway, while we were there, I'm out there and taking it all in as it comes, not understanding what's happening. Well, I'm getting, an hour later after that, I was getting pictures. So on my Facebook stuff, on my social media platforms, on my live videos, there was people sending pictures, standing behind me, saying, I'm so close, I could touch you right now. I can smell your cologne right now.
Yes.
Like, that's not a good feeling, especially when I'm looking around and I'm looking in the video. I'm like, who is it? Like, and so now we're doing like super CSI. We're trying to figure it out. We're slowing it down. Go back to 7:43 and a pause. You know what I mean? Like, who's that?
Right.
And like, I'm serious. You know, I mean, I got kids, you know, and then the jail thing came and like, it just got heavy overnight.
Wow.
What turned into, you know, what's going on in my city to, you know, being in the middle of it, being I was the first arrested in the riot out here in Eugene. Well, I mean, there was like 11 of us, but I was the first one taken down, put in the handcuffs.
That's some crazy stuff.
You know, it was due to the fact that you was indigenous, maybe?
I think it was the fact of that, just the attention we had when we were, you know, when we're updating social media and, you know, I mean, I'd go live and catch 7,000 viewers.
Yes.
I mean, we're doing it. So, I mean, the police, when they took me down, and I quote, he said, I've had enough of you this week, and dropped me and just. And like that sat with me, you know, when I was in, you know, sitting in the cell, and I was like, enough of you this week. I was like, I've never even met that guy in my life.
Right.
So,
well,
you know, it just showed how deep I really was in it, you know, and it was a lot.
For me, it, you know, watching, you know, from here, you know, because I wanted to see what was going on all around to see if the experience was the same because, you know, in my city, in Nebraska, but in the state alone, we are home to 8 global headquarters for hate groups.
Mm-hmm.
Global hate groups. So we're talking the neo-Nazis. We are talking the Nazis. I mean, every group. You know, anti-Semitic, you know.
You guys got Proud Boys out there?
Yes. And, you know, KKK, you know, that was started up in just, you know, Colorado. So, yeah, we've got Proud Boys. We got One Percenters, the White Boys. Who else? White Boys, fellow skinheads. That's one of our hate groups that. Their headquarters is here. And so also, you know, here we are home to 7 reservations, which is just 2 less than South Dakota, which has 9, which has the most reservation count. I just, and again, the Midwest is the hot spot for the virus again. And, you know, you can't help wonder. Imagine that, exactly. And where are most reservations? They're by interstates, you know? And so.
The Midwest is diverse in general.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. And, you know, something I learned is that a lot of, with that diversity, a lot of telemarketing call centers set up shop here because we don't have accents. Because of that diversity, you know, there's not enough of one to create one. You get what I'm saying? That's how diverse we are.
Yeah.
You know, especially with University of Nebraska, but Kansas right now is blaming the Garth Brooks concert for their recent COVID outbreak. We just had Garth Brooks over the weekend, and you'll never ever believe this. He held his concert at Husker Stadium, which housed over 90,000 fans. So
that Garth come about around here, I'm going.
You know? And
yeah.
So
90,000.
90,000 is how many the Husker Stadium houses. So
that's more than WrestleMania.
And it was
Garth.
Yeah. It's Garth, yeah.
oh man, he's been around for a while.
Tell us about, yeah, huh?
32.
Tell us about how'd you get into music, and you know, some of your influences.
Music got into me. You know, I can't take the credit for that. People, how do you rap like the, it happens. I couldn't explain it. I just love it, and I just exercise it like a muscle.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was a little kid, everything was a rhyme. You know, to tie my shoes was a rhyme. You know, to learn left and right, it was a rhyme.
That's nice.
And then, you know, just my brothers, they were into, they were elemental with the scene, and they didn't even know it. Skateboarding and spray paint and freestyling, even to making beats and breakdancing. The breakdancing was like a really big, that's what I wanted to be when I was a kid.
I was a breakdancer.
I thought I was
going to.
Santa Cory is the man.
I was going to go to France. I was going to go to Germany. I was going to get it in.
Oh,
my JNCO jeans.
Thanks.
What's up?
1979, let's dance to the drummer's beat. That was the song, 1979. That's when I made my debut.
Yeah.
Great dance. But go for it, man.
Yeah. But yeah. So, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I was just exposed to the elements of hip-hop and didn't even know it. So, and then, you know, just fast forward, you know, I did band. I did theater. Theater is one of my biggest.
What'd you play?
I love theater.
What'd you play?
I did the play called Happily Ever After, Once Upon a Time.
No, instrument.
Like
instrument,
percussion, of course.
And band.
Percussion. I wanted to do alto sax, but I didn't dig the reed. I didn't dig the whole spit valve thing. So it was a week after band started, and then I went to the drums.
Right.
Piano, xylophone, triangle, timpani, all the smoke.
So who would you say are some of your musical influences? Are they, you know, are they indigenous? Is it traditional? What is it? How, you know, I mean, how did you, how,
my,
how did we
a big part,
sound?
A big part of my influence today is, and it's actually turning my music into a different lane, you know, more positive, upbeat, you know, because my music is my story. It is literally my diary. This is just, when beats come on, you know, sometimes, you know, a bottle gets opened up that I didn't even know was closed, and then this story comes out, and, you know, that's how I explain, it's my counseling. So I've learned how, and, you know, the way I'm seeing the younger generation react to my music, my kids especially, my kids are my biggest fans. So I think the reaction and the what I have influencing the younger generation is a lot of responsibility on me. And I think that's a lot of my influence to push and be better and go broader and have more of a range as a musician.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely. And like I said, watching you in action, because that's honestly, that's how I discovered you, you know, or ran into you. And it wasn't even your music. It was that action. And, you know, the riot, that's what caught my attention, because you you were pretty viral, you know, at that point, you know, what you were sharing, you know, on your social media, and that, then I was led to your music, you know what I mean? And, so I witnessed your influence as a young warrior spirit before your music. So basically, you know, you are one of those very powerful individuals whose presence steps into a room before your physical does. So, you know, it does have a lot of influence. And I like hearing what you just had to say about recognizing your, you know, on future generations, you know, and being mindful about, you know, the music that you're producing and keeping your children in mind, you know, because, you know, the voice is very powerful. And do you want to, you know, tell us a little bit about the song that you brought?
Well, okay. Pipe Down. Now, this song right here was, it was kind of like when I can't say like shook the chains away, but I kind of just took my independence back as far as the music goes. I was, you know, with a label, love them to death, you know, but that took its toll as well, you know, touring for so many days, and it just got to be a lot. And then we had to, you know, we went our separate roads, and it just went. When I just, for a minute, I kind of lost, like, the drive for it. I kind of lost the drive for music. Just kind of lost the routine that I was in, you know, being on the road all the time and, you know, just in and out the house all the time is just not my norm. So when I came back to my norm, I kind of lost, you know, my ambition for it. And Pipe Down was just me just, it was just starting the engine back up and just reminding myself that, you know, I got this, that, you know, I am up there. I'm a heavy hitter with these bars and that I do have a chance at it. So I had to drop Pipe Down on him one time.
Awesome. So, DJ Santa Corey.
Yeah, man, I'm wiping down the record right now, the vinyl. Got it right out the crate.
Jeez.
It's shiny. If you can see it's shiny,
I can see
my reflection.
Look, I keep teasing him to dust around him something. You know what I mean?
You know, I'm going to spin this record. You're going to see. This is the debut here in Dino Radio. Seville the Native, Pipe Down. Check this out. This is straight out of the official music video. I love it. So let's check it out right now, live.
Out the bottle, fill it all on the floor. Talking, but not the money's what we started this for. That's fat. All back then we touch them. Pour back out while I'm listening to bust down. Could have been out here on the road the whole month now. Saying that we up, I probably don't come down. Hey, daddy, daddy's gonna leave my mark. Lighting up on a pitch, shooting shit in the dark. I ain't aiming where it hurts, so I'ma aim at the heart. When I try to tell them first, now they ain't in the car. No caption, I'm the captain. Hair swinging in the wind when I cast them. Now I'm soft, hey, let it marinate. Daddy, baby, 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 baby. Hoping Anna catches a sip and get filled. Drop a cannon with the juice we in the field. Look, my weed is all Havana. How to say the cuts to fill a baby? I'ma keep it real. For the cutthroats. Nay, body, dip the cold wind for the gusto. Fuck, I can't trust them. Get your own touch them. Bucks on my buck, I just execute the huddle.
That's a dope song right there. It's gonna be on the regular
high
lineup
energy.
Here.
High energy,
you know,
high, high energy, high slap, high vibe. I had to rejuice myself. I was just feeling down on myself, and I just had to remind myself. I had to get in the ring with myself. You know, we got to face
right.
That man in the mirror every morning, and that's what I had to do, and that's what that song came from. It was me going up against myself, and that's what I came up with.
I like it.
Awesome. Good, like, great job, man.
Thank you.
I really like it. And, you know, I just want to, you know, thank you for blessing us with, you know, everything that you brought tonight to Taino Radio. It's a vibe. You had my hair standing up a couple times. You know, because you could feel it. You know, I like that young warrior spirit that you got. It's very evident. You know what I mean? And, you know, something I wanted to say about, you know, how you were feeling, you know, about that target on your back. You know, I just want you to know that that's probably when, you know, you noticed or actually felt it, because you've had it on your back, whether you were in music or, you know, just you being, you know, indigenous, you know what I mean? And
wow.
You know, that's probably why you felt the way, because it had finally dawned on you. It was there the whole time. That's a lot of weight, you know, when you come to that understanding or that realization about, you know, who we are as people and why they go so hard on us, you know, because
relentless,
we are resilient,
yeah.
Yes, and strong, and that, and the other thing, got your braids on, right? I like that. And you'll see me say that from time to time. Do you got your braids on? You know, that's something I had encouraged Gary to do. Gary Janess, Native Outlaws.
Shout out Uncle Gary.
Yeah, so when I do interviews for him, you know, you'll notice he'll have his hair braided. You know, and I think that is a lot of warrior, you know, strength there. And I appreciate that, you know, your representation, you know, and your stand, because you stand on your beliefs. You stand on what you say. And, you know, I appreciate that, you know, and thank you, you know, thank you for, you know, being who you say you are, you know, and because,
yeah.
You know, you do have a lot of, are you looking right at you, you know, and I'm glad that your influence is so positive, you know what I mean, and, you know.
We working
doing
towards it. We definitely working
yes.
on it.
Yes, and also I was gonna say, big ups on your upcoming feature in Indigenous Entertainment, right? Is that what it is? Is that the
Indigenous Warriors Enterprise magazine?
Enterprise?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be in that feature right along with that. Yes.
I was to say, I think we're gonna bump shoulders on the pages, maybe.
I'm honored, and you know, I look forward to hearing more from you, and watching, you know, you evolve, you know. And I just want to say, you know, as Indigenous First Lady of Hip Hop, keep doing your thing, you know.
Thank you very much, and I will. I got a lot in store. You know, I'm working with Uncle Richie. You know, Uncle Richie is providing a platform for all of us. You know, if you're able to go and get it, he's got it for us. I'm locking in with King Blizz as well. King Blizz out of New Mexico. We got a lot of big stuff. Joey Styles. I mean, we got a lot of stuff coming up, and I can't wait to
Joey
share
Styles.
It with you guys.
Joey Styles.
Yeah, Joey
Styles. I like him. He's
That's the Nietzsche.
Yes, and Santa Cory in that feature that we're in. There's Sten Jody Sten, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome feature.
Tattoo Music Group. Reservation
Dogs
on Hulu.
Reservation Dogs, yes, as well as a neighbor to me, just right over here in Iowa. You know, so. Don't sleep on the Midwest. We doing big things, you know, here. We've got Antoine Edwards, and he's just in Omaha. We've got Prolific the Rapper. We've got, we got so many more. Gunner is out this way, too. You know, so don't sleep. That's all I'm saying. And, you know,
definitely,
we Indigenous, we got this, you know.
Oh, hell. Well, Savelle, I'm going to download this show in the future on YouTube, on my channel. And all shows are archives. You can share this show. And is there any message you like to share right now to the youth or anyone who's listening? Archiving a show in the future, YouTube, what do you have to say? What's that final message you want people to know about you, your music, or just anything, you know?
Okay, if I got to leave with one message, it would have to be, I've never been put on the spot.
It's a loaded question.
It is. And I'm a thinker, so
thinker. Take your time.
If I have to leave off with a message, it is that we need to stay together. We need to stick together. We need to come together. Whether you be family, friends, foe, other nations, different states, different countries, we need to stay together right now. We need to have the power of love. We need to take care of each other. Because we are all we have. And you can find me anywhere you want on Google. Just look up Savelle Native.
Go ahead, drop those links. And let them know.
Just Google it. Because if you Google my name, I have a Google panel. Now the Google panel will pull up my YouTube, my Spotify, my Apple Music, anything that you want to know about me will pop up on the Google panel. So just type in Savelle the Native. That is the with an A. Check me out.
Guess what? I want to highlight your music in the future show called Club Indigenous right here in Taino Radio. I'm definitely going to play your songs, and that's great, man.
Excellent.
Yeah, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Truly.
Oh man, that's great. It's family. I love what you say. Even the foes, right? Wow, that's deep. Even the foes are welcome, huh?
Mm-hmm.
To be together.
We have to.
That's deep.
We have to for the ultimate. As a father, as I speak as a father, we have to.
Wow. That's a reflection right there. Oof. Too many of us want us divided, right? No matter what.
That's right. That's how they wake up and execute their plans. You know, we gotta counteract it.
Wow, that kind of reminds me of what Gandhi said. What about your best friend is your enemy? If you can make your enemy your friend, that's your best friend right there. So, but that's the challenge to get together, right? Damn.
That is the ultimate challenge.
Wow. It's worthy stuff. So 4-1, you want to close it out? Want to close it out 4-1, and then I'll play a last song.
Definitely. Again, thank you for joining us, and relatives. I hope you got some of that. You got that warrior spirit, because I don't know, I'm feeling pretty good right now, and that energy. I don't know. I feel. You want to know what I feel like? I feel like I need to go run around or something.
Cool,
you know
man.
What I mean? Like, I got to do something, and I feel like I'm just an ADHD kid right now. Jeez.
Go ahead, scream, let it out.
DJ Santa Corey, could you play?
Don't worry, we got this.
Could you play that tune for me? Can you play Creator?
Yeah, man. You want the long version, right?
Sure.
The super long version where everybody's jamming. Hey, Unity, right? There you go.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So I'd like to
thank everyone out there in the world listening in to TainoRadio.com. We'll be back.
Creator, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Tina in the home, and Taino at the day, Mukutono Kuchirike, aquella yo cago, de todo, no cochire, le hice mi madre catena, en la ONU sub, na aquella, madre catena sub, na jara ya poco, cabrero cu, aquella, madre catena en la ONU, ya uno, giratina, buga cano cuya, y uno no se quería abubuni aquella copona, guauco, chatina, lunya abubuni. Mario Cortina Lu, Alakatabe, Sohuni Kokona, Waokoja Avovoni, Mumaki Erida, Wero Kovalekanam, Yahovoni, Abel Borimu, Arianka Liha, Ayahovoni, Naone Nitano, Naribaka, Bukwatu.
Right now.